We're gonna ask you to stand while we do the Pledge of Allegiance. Then we're gonna pray for the speaker, and that would be Pastor Sam. He's here today to give the word. So we're gonna stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance. If you just put your fork down for a minute. And we want to again thank all the veterans that are here. We appreciate your service to this country, and we thank you so much. So let's put your right hand over your heart, and we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Just remain standing, if you will. Well, Lord, I just want to say hallelujah. Hallelujah to your name, Lord. We are so blessed to be here to honor you here today, and that's why we are here. Father, I pray for this service today as Pastor Sam comes up and gives the word, Lord. I know you've spoken to his heart. He's got a message prepared, and he's anxious to get started and to share that message with the people that have come through these doors. Lord, we thank you for all the clothing that you've provided. Thank you, Jesus, for the fresh, clean socks back there, the lotion, the soap, all the little personal items that everyone's getting blessed with here today. We thank you for the sandwiches, bag lunches that you can take. Lord, you provide it all. We just deliver what you provide. And God, once again, we ask you to just bring your anointing upon Pastor Sam, Lord. Just fill him to the fullest, overflow him, Lord, that what he speaks comes right from you, Lord. And we will give you in advance all the honor, praise, and glory that you are so due. I pray that someone's heart will be moved today, and they'll surrender their life to you. We thank you in advance, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. Now, Pastor Sam is going to come up and give the word. I want to remind you one more time about Project Homeless. That's next Tuesday at the chapel on Fir Hill. Make sure you get there because they're going to have some dentists there, some doctors, all kinds of things that will be given to you free. So take advantage of that.
Praise the Lord. I thank and praise the Lord for being here one more time. I thank and praise the Lord for Jesus Said Ministry, for Pastor Steve and Pastor Judy, for all of the workers and volunteers. This is a great ministry, and it's doing a great work here in Akron. And we thank and praise the Lord for them and for this ministry and all of those that participate, that come and volunteer. And we don't take it lightly. We thank God for the opportunity to come and share the bread of life with each and every one of you. And we thank God for each and every one of you. I have a word today that God has placed upon my heart. Is Jesus is coming back. And I'm going to be coming out of the fourth chapter of the book of Thessalonians. But I do have some foundation I would like to put in place before I get to that point. And please bow and have a word of prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for another glorious day. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for each and every one of us that's gathered here today. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you continue to lead and guide each and every one. Heavenly Father, touch each and every life, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you continue to lead and guide us and place us in the center of your will, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, that your will be done in each and every one of our lives, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray that you continue to bless Pastor Steve and Pastor Judy, and continue to bless Jesus Said Ministries, Heavenly Father, in a great and a mighty way. We thank you for every soul that has come to Jesus through this ministry, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray this morning as the word goes forth, Heavenly Father, that you sit Reverend Sam down and allow your Holy Spirit to stand up in me, Heavenly Father. Touch each and every one in the way that, in the manner in which you wish them to be touched, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I I've been watching the news quite a bit, looking at a lot of different things that have been taking place. And even though we look and feel sad, we know that these things must come to pass. Because if we read the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation let us know that things are not going to get better. You know, God's people are always going to be blessed, and the Word of God is already blessed. But these certain situations that are coming to pass is going to come to pass, regardless of what we may think or feel or how we may view it. And we look at this nation as being one of the greatest nations on earth, one of the most advanced technological nations on earth. God has blessed America. It's been a nation that was established. It was founded by Christians and established by Christians. And we thank and praise God for that. And I think sometimes many people take that for granted. They don't realize that how much God is blessing us and how much we've been blessed in this nation. And if you look at some of them other third world countries and you look at their situations and their circumstances, it may give you a better idea of where we're at in the on the blessing chain, because we really are a blessed nation. I wanted to share this verse with you this morning. It's Psalms, the ninth chapter, verses 17 through verses 19. And you can see a lot of the situations in this verse, even though David wrote this verse in the in Psalms in the Old Testament, it applies right now. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, but the expectations of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. And what David spoke then is coming to pass right now, as far as in the economics of the world. We see so many nations, even all of Europe and the shaking of the United States and the financial foundations of these nations, man is starting to realize that he's not in control. We see a lot of things that's going on right now. They're trying to control the stock markets. They're trying to control a lot of the financial institutions. You know, in the last 10 years, more banks have went bankrupt in the United States than in the history of this country. Even during the Depression, we didn't have banks that size that go into bankruptcy. So God is allowing man to know that he's not in charge. You know, even though we were created in God's image and we have a lot of intelligence, but we're not in charge. God is always in charge. The Word of God said the earth is his and the fullness thereof. And he will continue to remind us of that. And I was looking at some of the other situations. We, looking at the news, me and my wife was discussing, you know, suicide is now the largest cause of death in the United States, not being spoken about enough. And I've heard some ministers on television, and I don't want to get way off track, but I do want to address this issue. There's a few issues I would like to address and lay a foundation before I get to the meat of my subject. But you hear people say some that committing suicide is does not condemn you to hell. But I want you to know that that is not what the Bible is explaining to us. And people that is stating that incorrectly, because God created this body and this temple. He created us to worship him, even though many of us refuse to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we refuse to serve him. Nevertheless, he created each and every person to serve him and for their body to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so we're not our own. We were all bought with a price. And because of that, we don't have the right to destroy this body. And I spent many years on drugs destroying this body, and God spared me. But that's another subject and another sermon. But at any rate, so we're not in charge of destroying this body. And when people commit suicide, the Bible gives an example of Judas. When he committed suicide, he went to hell. And therefore, we have to address that issue, because we have a lot of people in our society that's struggling with that. And some people think that it's okay. They can commit suicide, bail out, and go to heaven. That's not so. That's incorrect. The Bible is not teaching that. That's not a that is not a biblical principle. One, because you are supposed to ask forgiveness of your sins. If you commit suicide, you can't ask forgiveness for it. You're gone. It's over with. And so there's a lot of issues like that that we must address. One of the other issues I would like to say as a foundation is that every single one of us, when we were born, when we came into this world, and before we got here, God had a mission and an assignment for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us are important to God, regardless if we realize that or not, regardless if we're accepting that mission, regardless if we believe that or not. Many of us, we haven't accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so, therefore, we may be on missions that Satan has assigned to our life. Because there's only two. There's either God or Satan. There's no in-between. And in the Hebrew language, when you read the Hebrew language, there is no word for coincidence. Like in America, we always say bad luck, good luck, this or that. There's no such thing. And the Bible was first written in Hebrew. There is no word in the Hebrew language for coincidence. They understand that when something happens, it's either controlled by God or it's either controlled by Satan. And therefore, we have to understand that these conditions that prevail in our life may be because of something that we are doing, or because we have refused to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Bad things do happen to good people, but one thing for sure, David said that he's never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. And when we look at that, we look at a lot of things that David said in the book of Psalms. And we know that the trials of the righteous are many. But David said, but God delivered them out of all of them. And he didn't say some of them or a few of them. He said all of them. And I'm standing here today, and many of y'all know my testimony, where I got shot from my left side all the way through my right side. The bullet tumbled and tore all my insides up. And on December the 16th, 2002, God gave me a brand new liver in a miracle healing service. And I weighed 115 pounds, strung out on drugs and that. But God delivers us out of all of our circumstances if we allow Him to. Many times we won't allow Him. But and the reason why is not only because He loves us so much and He gave His Son Jesus Christ on the cross to die for us, but also because He has a mission for each and every one of us in this room, under the sound of my voice. And we have an obligation to pray and ask God what that mission is. And you'd be surprised at people in this world that have found what their mission is, how successful they are in life, not only financially, but rewarding, because they've done something that has really blessed the world, not just themselves, like George Washington Carver with 300 different things that he invented that he was able to do with the peanut. And he was a religious man, and he prayed, and he's got a book out now that lets you know that he prayed to God and asked God about what to do. And God told him those things to do, and he was successful at that. Many of us are not asking God, what is our mission? What does he want us to do? What are we here for? And Satan is not going to reveal it to you. I'm going to tell you that now. He got something else for you. And we must wake up to that issue. Another issue is money. And a lot of times, and I'm speaking to you Christians that need to know this, that when you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you understand that financial blessings are always there for God's people. But there's a guideline to get there. Now, I was looking at the Bible from that aspect, and I'm not going to stay on that subject long, but Genesis says, as long as the earth remains, there's going to be seed time and harvest. So what happens is, when God wanted a family, he sowed his son Jesus Christ into the earth to get a family, to bring all of us to him. And that's the same thing that we have to do if we're going to deliver certain circumstances in our own life. We're going to have to sow in different areas of our life in order to bring things forth. And if not, it won't come forth. I've never seen a person reap a great harvest financially by singing, by praying, by fasting, or even through obedience by itself. Because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, what a man soweth, he shall also reap. So if you sow an apple seed in the ground, you get apples. You know, and so if you sow orange seeds in the ground, you get an apple, an orange tree. And so therefore, we must be aware that that's one of God's principles. And I just wanted to share that. I'm not going to continue to dwell upon that. And one of the things that we have to look at is that God is more concerned with our character than he is with our comfort. For many years, when I was out in the street and I was doing all kind of crazy stuff and circumstances and on drugs and messing up other people's lives and messing up my own life, and I was always wondering to myself, you know, how come things is just won't go right for me? How come, you know, my life is so uncomfortable? Even when I had a few dollars here and there coming in, things were just a whole lot of turmoil was with it, and I was always very uncomfortable. Well, I didn't realize one thing. God is more concerned with your character than he is with your comfort. So if you're very uncomfortable in life, maybe you need to take a look at your character and see how displeased God is with your character. Because it may have something to do with the discomfort in life that you're experiencing. Once I straighten out my character and got connected with God the way I should, a lot of those other turmoils and situations that was in my life, God removed them. God removed a lot of situations that was horrible in my life. Even the liver condition that was killing me from the gunshot, God removed that and gave me a miracle. Many of y'all are like evangelists. God gave him a song, Do You Want Your Miracle? And he had that copyrighted. And all of us need a miracle from time to time. And if you don't need one right now, all you got to do is keep living. You're going to need one sooner or later. And so if we are in the position that we need a miracle, then we need to check out our character and see if it lines up for God's blessing. Because it's not going to happen just by itself through happenstances. And so that's another issue that we should address. Because even rich people, no matter how rich they are, they're poor without Jesus Christ. You got rich people committing suicide. They're poor without Jesus Christ. And even the poorest person on earth is rich with Jesus Christ. And it bears, the truth bears itself out. All you have to do is look around. You don't have to know a whole lot about an individual or a whole lot about an individual's circumstances. If you know where a person stands with Christ, you pretty much know what's going on in their life. If they've never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and if they're living that awesome worldly life, you know that they've been through some dramatic situations in their life. Even though they may not be talking about it, they've been through some dramatic situations in their life. And the reason why that is because Satan guarantees dramatic situations. That's his job. That's his job. He guarantees that. But we have the hope that God talks about in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 13 through verses 18. And it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then also, which sleep in Christ, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are asleep and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And God is saying here, this is a description of the rapture, which all the Christians are looking forward to. We're looking forward to that day, to meet God in the air and to be with him forever. And he's coming back. Regardless of how many people in the world don't believe that he's coming back, he's coming back. And he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for a church of people, a remnant, that wants to serve him and be with him. And when they talk about in this verse the people that are asleep, he's talking about the deceased people that were serving God before they passed. They're going to rise first and meet the Lord in the air. And so God has prepared this for us. He's prepared this circumstances for us. And it is going to come to pass, regardless of what Satan is trying to make many people believe and think that God isn't real. He's a real and an awesome God. Amen. And we better get ready. I don't know if there's anyone in the house today that in the church today that has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, has not made Jesus their Savior. And if so, we're going to give you the opportunity to come up and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Also come up for prayer. Anyone else that wants prayer and has different circumstances in your life that you're not sure of, it's always wonderful to pray about it. We're not going to close the door on you. And we have several ministers here that will pray with you. And if you have circumstances where you want to know what your mission is in life, we'll pray with you concerning that issue. So I just want to extend this time of opportunity for all of those that wish prayer or wish to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Judy. God bless.